He was young, he was well-mannered, he was educated and well-off. He was sincere and honest, and seemingly above reproach. Maybe he also had an engaging personality and a winsome smile. Jesus certainly found him likable. For Jesus, who was about to set out on a trip, took time to engage with him. He even tried to recruit him to be a disciple. Good teacher, the man began, the man who seemingly had everything. What must I do to gain eternal life? Or in other words, what must I do to gain a closer relationship with God? What must I do to enter God's kingdom here on earth? Or what must I do to enter into God's family, God's household more fully? This is not an inconsequential question. And first, Jesus deals with the reverential term that he used. Why are you calling me good? No one's good but God. And then he goes on to address the question. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother. And the man responds, Teacher, I have. From my youth I've kept them all. So Jesus looks him right in the eye, and we're told with love, maybe perhaps a smile, and says, so I guess there's one thing left. Go and sell what you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. And then come and follow me. The man's face clouds over. It's the last thing he wanted to hear from Jesus. He walks away with a heavy heart. He clearly was holding tight onto a lot of things and was not about to let them go. Jesus turns to his followers and said, do you have any idea how difficult it is for those who have it all to enter the kingdom of God, to be really close to God? Now, most, if not all of us, are probably taking a little bit of comfort in the fact that we don't have great wealth. So when Jesus told him to sell everything he had, give it to the poor, he's not talking to us. But before we get too comfortable, let's look and see what Jesus is saying to his disciples and maybe saying to us. First of all, and perhaps most importantly, let's look at the question that the man asks. And what might be our question? What are we seeking? Are some of us seeking for ways to live a life closer to God? I think so. Are some of us seeking what we might do to follow the example of Jesus in our mission work in the world? I think so. Some of us seeking answers of what it would be like to live truly as a household of God at Emmanuel? Isn't that one of the reasons we come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Isn't that why we chose that fall campaign lyric from the hymn, Together Met, Together Bound? Don't we meet in order to be bound together more fully to one another and to God? So, returning to Jesus' conversation with the man, at first, Jesus seems to be saying that if you keep the Ten Commandments, you'll get what you seek, eternal life. He says, you know the commandments. And then Jesus recites them. But he does not recite all of them. He recites only half of them. Five. And let's look at what he recites. Now, I know some of you have the Ten Commandments memorized. But for some of the others of us who would like to refresh our memories, open your prayer books to page 350, and you'll be able to follow the words that Jesus says to the man. He says, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Curious. I don't see that one in there. But never mind. Let's go on. Honor your father and mother. So Jesus specifically recites the fifth through the ninth commandments to the man. And the man says, I've kept them all since my youth. So let's look at the commandments that Jesus doesn't point to. You shall have no other gods, no idols. You shall not misuse the name of God. You shall keep holy the Sabbath day. Do you notice something? He's left out the last one. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor, the tenth. So, what do the five commandments Jesus recites have in common? Don't they have to do with our relationship with other people? Don't murder, committing adultery, stealing, bearing false witness, defrauding, honoring parents. They all have to deal with our relationship with other people. The other commandments? You shall have no other gods, no idols. You shall not misuse the name of God. You shall keep holy the Sabbath. All of those seem to focus on our relationship with God. So the first four have a focus on relating to God, and the next five have to do with our relationship with other people. So Jesus seems to be saying that the man's relationship with neighbors and with God are all pretty good. He's been keeping them. And that's what keeps him bonded. But there's also something keeping him from relationship with God and other. And what is it? What of that tenth commandment? You shall not covet anything that belongs to neighbor. Let me suggest to you that in absenting the one commandment, Jesus seems to be pointing to coveting as the epitome of broken relationship with God and neighbor. He seems to be pointing to the one commandment that's been left out, coveting, which could be defined as longing for more and more and more until it breaks relationship with God and neighbor. So coveting alienates us from God and one another. When we covet something that belongs to someone else, we want something or feel an inordinate desire for something, and in doing so, we put it before God and neighbor. We're in essence making it the idol. And you know what? I think I get that. I think we all do, because too often in our culture, we seem to see that kind of alienation of desiring more and more and more and seeing how it alienates. And I think if we're honest, we can see it in our own lives too. So, when Jesus answers the question, what must I do to live into the household of God? His reply is, don't covet. He looks into the man's heart and knows where the idols were that prevented him from a close relationship with God and neighbor. So, likewise, Jesus says to all of his followers, and so to us, examine your own lives. Look at your relationship to stuff. Look at your relationship to material possession. And does it alienate you from God and from one another? I was thinking of that passage that we also listened to from Amos today about justice, about seeking to do the just thing in this world. And I was reminded of John Hines, who some 40 years ago, you might recall, was our presiding bishop. And he said something that's always stuck with me. He said, there's no conversion to love of God without conversion to love of neighbor. I.e., you can't love God unless you love neighbor. You can't love neighbor unless you love God. Today's gospel reminds us that one of the things that regularly stands in the way of God and neighbor love is our relationship to material possessions. If we are to love God and neighbor, we're going to have to do it with our stuff. If we're going to love God and love neighbor, Hines points to the fact that they can't be divided. The division between ministry of prayer and ministry of social justice is not dividable. And if we're going to follow our call to follow Jesus, we're going to follow it as stewards of this world. We're going to serve the world with our stuff. We're going to serve the community with our stuff. We're going to serve every creature on this planet with our stuff. If one or the other's missing, then we fail. Think of it this way. Life with God is like a dance where all the people gather around in a great, large circle, and at the center's God. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to neighbor, the closer we get to each other. And the closer we get to neighbor, the closer we get to God. This morning, Jesus simply pointing out to the young man that his relation to his money is tripping up his dance moves. God knows our relation to stuff, to money, is a crucial part of our spiritual journey. That's why he captured it so succinctly when he said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's not some throwaway line. That saying lies at the center of loving God and loving neighbor. It lies in the center of this morning's story. It lies in the center of that image of the dance. And Jesus is inviting the man, his disciples, and all of us into a life where we learn to offer our treasure to serve the works of God, so that our dance might draw us closer to God and one another. Amen.